1-4-1-5-9-2-6-5-3-5-8-9-7-9-3-2-2-4-3-3-8-3-2-7-9-5-0-2-8-8-4-1-9-7-1-6-9-3-9-9. How many?
100.
375 letters. Did any of them give me the real information?
They got the real information. Yes. Yes, in 1897, the Indiana House of Representatives.
209744592.
Redefining the area of a circle and the value of pi. 1897, Indiana House of Representatives.
Indiana House of Representatives. So the House.
Yes, the House.
The House is. Well, then what did the Senate say?
The junior varsity. The Senate said, are you out of your freaking minds? It was introduced by Rep Taylor. Which looks a lot like Rip Taylor, which would have made a lot more sense.
A lot cooler.
Rip Taylor had said.
With a lot of confetti. And it was round. It was confetti that was almost round.
Almost round.
But they couldn't tell the area of it.
You know,
what year was this?
1897.
In Indiana.
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 You know, a doctor claimed he had solved a pi and talked the representatives into believing
a doctor of... doctor of mathematics?
It doesn't seem to be a doctor of mathematics, no. A physician. Mathematical hobbyist. Apparently not a good one. Dr. Goodwin said he had solved pi, and hadn't. Really.
But he was able to fool the House.
Well, apparently
but
his language was confusing.
And he wanted to round it off to what, 3 or 3.2, did you say?
3.2.
Okay. So he has an odd definition of rounding off, too, right?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, wouldn't 3.1 be the right round off?
3.1 would be a little closer.
Yeah.
Almost roundish.
So roundish. So that's the answer to pi. And you've decided in your wisdom as the Solomon,
yes,
as the Solomonic voice on the Penn Jillette show, you've decided that the prize that I promised
goes to Laura.
Because she gave us all this information.
She gave us all this information.
Instantly. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Teller.
We're on the Free FM. My name is Penn Jillette, which is actually contained in pi. If you go through pi enough, you find everything. It never ends. We're at penradio@gmail.com. That's P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O @gmail.com or @penradio.com. We might take a phone call today. We've been known to do stuff like that.
It could happen.
It could happen. So that would be 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Is there any more radio fodder in the idea of pi? How did I get from Indiana to Ohio, and how did I get, what was it, 1897. I said the early part of the 20th century.
You did. You got that part right.
Kinda. That's actually the late part of the 19th century, but close.
You were rounding off.
I was rounding off to pi. Yeah, look in the mirror and say that, monkey face. Yes, I was rounding off. And that's okay. That's okay. I was close. And Indiana and Ohio, I mean, to anybody that listens to this show, there's no difference to those two states whatsoever. They both begin with the vowels. They're both somewhere that I've been a couple times on a tour bus.
Yeah.
That's it.
Flat and snow.
I would say that the winner of knowing this information is me.
Really?
Right. I would say that I was right. On just about everything. Certainly everything that matters.
You're going to renege on Laura's deal? She's not going to get the DVD?
No, she's going to get the DVD because I'm a kind, omnipotent God. I'm not a God of wrathful vengeance.
Are you sure?
You know what? I'm kind of jealous. On the Drudge Report, I don't know if it's come out yet, DJ, and I don't know who it is, some AM DJ in L.A., we're not even in L.A., is getting a lot of trouble for making fun of the stampede that crushed the Muslims at the temple.
At the Hajj,
he made some jokes. The jokes are not listed there. And Imus is also getting busted in Imus, who I think is on Free FM. In some way, he's some sort of sister station.
Sure.
I always liked Imus. Good friend of Kinky's. And I've never met Imus. You know, we have all these mutual friends, but I've never met him.
Maybe he'll call in.
Well, the reason is I used to, in the late 80s and 90s, I used to go on a competitor show of his. And I just started going on, and sure. So I didn't. Maybe this doesn't like me. Know what you're saying?
It could be.
Could be, yeah. But Kinky says he likes me. But anyway, he's in trouble, too, for saying that Muslims were brainwashed or something.
Sure.
And his MSNBC show can't go on in Canada until he apologizes or something. And the DJ in L.A. is trying, and this is the part where I feel kind of like Al Goldstein. You know, whenever there's religious people getting mad at somebody and it's not me, I kind of feel a little creepy. So right. when the fatwa was laid on Salman Rushdie,
yeah.
I don't know, does the verb lay follow fatwa? I don't know. I'm going to lay a fatwa on you. Al Goldstein was so upset that the Ayatollah wanted Salman Rushdie dead for being blasphemous and didn't want Al Goldstein dead, they took out a full-page ad in Screw Magazine. See, this is why you love Al Goldstein, you know. And by the way, Al Goldstein is still employable. He's living in New York, and he's looking for a job. If you want an American hero, an American folk hero, to work for you, doing anything, answering phones, running to get bagels, whatever.
Laundry.
I mean, $10 an hour, man.
Sure.
You know, you could have Al Goldstein write to us at penradio@gmail.com. We're now just an ad, you know, we're a placement. We're work placement. We're like, what is it, Monster or something? I guess they're probably not a sponsor
of our show.
I shouldn't say it, but we're trying to find a job. But what Al did, and this was so cool, is Al took out a full-page ad offering, I think, $1 million to anyone who killed the Ayatollah. Which meant he got death threats just like crazy. And the same people that were busting him, like the FBI sure. guys, the self-same guys, not the same agency,
right.
the self-same guys who used to like come to Screw and bust him were then there to protect him. And his entire staff quit. So I was living in L.A. at the time, or maybe I was touring and I was in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And I get a phone call from Al Goldstein. And I wish I could do Al Goldstein's voice, but I can't, so I won't
he
even
sounds
cry.
A lot like Yosemite Sam, I hear.
Al calls me and says, hey, Penn, none of my friends will hang out with me. And I went, well, so? You know, why? As our Jewish brothers and sisters say, why is today different from any other? Your friends won't hang out with you. And he said because he had threatened the life of the Ayatollah. And I said, and what's happened? And he said, well, they took me out of New York. The Screw offices are being covered by bomb squads. And now I'm in L.A. and all my friends are afraid to go out with me. And I said, okay, I'll hang out with you. We're going to go to lunch. You're paying? You know, because I'm Carney.
There's so lunch involved.
If someone else is paying, I'm there.
Who cares about bombs? There's lunch.
Exactly. And I made one deal with him, and that was that I wouldn't be around him when he started his car. And I wouldn't walk through the restaurant and back with him. I would just meet him. I was willing to sit at the table. And the very next day, and this is, can tell you, you can pinpoint the time this was during the I wouldn't be able to figure this out, but Salman Rushdie and also when Reagan was president.
Mm-hmm.
I went out with Ron Reagan Jr.
Right.
And we were going to have lunch. And Ron Reagan, you know, did not have Secret Service when his father was president. He declined Secret Service,
uh-huh.
which is a really cool and, of course, at the same time, stupid thing to do. And those two, cool and stupid, almost always go together. Whether it's cigarette smoking or the Ramones at 120 dB, it's very hard to be cool without being stupid. Those have to. So part of his stupidity and coolness was to have no Secret Service, which you're
sure.
allowed to do. And he would assume, and he was voted most likely to be a hostage.
Okay.
You know, in his high school class. When you're the president's son, you're very likely to
sure.
be a hostage. So I was out with Al Goldstein one mm-hmm. day, next day with Ron Reagan, and Al Goldstein and I, we go out to lunch, and then he wanted to go by the Playboy Mansion to hang out with Hef.
I wonder why.
And I'm just saying, hang out with Hef like this is something I've done all the time.
Yeah.
But I get brought in by a fat pornographer
sure.
to hang out with Hef. And he's in this bathrobe with the pipe. I mean, it really is Hef. And I've always had a lot of respect for Hef because he's an out-of-the-closet atheist.
Sure.
You know. So I'm sitting there with Al Goldstein at Hef's big dining room table, and Hef comes down with his wife at the time, who I don't remember, probably named Kimberly, just a shot in the dark. And she comes down.
You're a mess today.
I'm a mess today. She comes downstairs, and she looks at the two of us, okay,
uh-huh.
and says, Hef, One of those guys threatened the life of the Ayatollah, and the other one drowns his partner and just laughs. Get them out of our house. So that was my visit to the Playboy Mansion.
It was shorter than you thought it would be.
Much shorter. That was it. I got to see. I walked around a little bit beforehand and got to see like the grotto.
Before you were caught.
And the koi fish and all that. But he was then married, and there weren't women running amok. I was only there really with Al Goldstein. I
mean, right.
We could have been at Buzz Coffee. Wouldn't have mattered at all.
You picked the one bad day to go.
I went to the bad day at the Playboy. Bad day at the Playboy Mansion. And then I went out with Ron Reagan. And Ron Reagan, because he doesn't have Secret Service, and because he was at the time the most likely to be a hostage.
Yes, of course. He
would call me up and say, "Hey, Penn, let's have lunch an hour earlier than we did last time at a different place, and I'll pick you up near where I picked you up last time." And you go, okay. And so I was able to figure that all out and parse it. And then he told me, and I'm not going to, what the show is Penn goes off half-cocked.
Sure.
I have no evidence for this. I have no evidence even that Ron Reagan said it to me. I could be misremembering. But he said he had done research, and he believed that in a hostage situation, he believed that the Secret Service had instructions to shoot him because he was such a strong bargaining chip. And then he said, "But whether they have license to kill me or instructions to kill me or not, they certainly are going to kill you." He said, "There's no doubt that both sides are going to go, I can't even think with that big guy there. Boom!" So I was out with, and it was 2 days in a row in L.A. I guess it would have been the late 80s. And I was with Al Goldstein and Ron Reagan. And how does that tie in with Pi?
That was a good week, though.
That was a very good week.
If you had one more, you could round out the story.
Very good week. So Imus and this other guy are in trouble for making jokes about Muslims. And what I want to talk about is not the fact that you should be free in this country to say whatever you want about Muslims. If you are free to preach Islam in this country, you're certainly free to say that the followers of Islam are brainwashed. I don't see how you can't have freedom in both directions. But I'm not even talking about that now. Okay. I think that's a given. I think if you're listening to Free FM, you agree with that, okay? We're going to try to find something we can have some sort of dialogue about.
Okay.
We all agree that you can say anything you want about Islam. It's the United States of America.
You can say bad.
You can say good, you can say bad. You can say there is no God. You can say it like that. Or you can go on like some creepo Jesus preacher. You can do whatever you want. That's the idea of freedom. But I want to talk about comedy, okay?
Okay.
The idea that you can't make fun of people dying is the backbone of comedy. You have no comedy if you don't laugh at humans dying, The Darwin Awards, that stuff you pass around and you go, "Hey, look, how about that guy in that shot his nephew?"
What? Okay. Hearing the hiccups.
Okay, read that. Read the guy who shot his nephew.
Wow, yeah. In Bogota, Colombia. And Colombian man accidentally shot his nephew to death while trying to cure his hiccups by pointing a revolver at him to scare him.
Okay, we're laughing.
I think it worked.
Now, does that mean we're laughing? Does that mean we're laughing at people with hiccups? Do people have hiccups? Just write this little note and apologize? Are we laughing at Bogota, even though it's a funny name? Bogota? No.
I'm laughing at Bogota now.
Are we laughing at Colombians?
No.
A little bit. Be honest, a little bit. We're laughing at Colombians.
I don't think this was a Colombian issue.
It's a little less funny if it's an American. That's my point.
I don't agree with you on this point.
Okay.
I think this is funny no matter where it happens.
And I want to tell you that I'm a fan of The Who. I like The Who.
Yes.
They're fine. When they had the whole band.
When they were The Who?
When they were A Who, yeah.
Now they're A Who. Some Who.
A Who. Which is, incidentally, The Who and The Beatles could get together perfectly. They have exactly what the other... They could be the Hoodles. Or the...
Beatles Who?
The Beatles Who. Because, what The Who needs is a bass player and a drummer.
Oh.
So it would work out. But when The Who had that thing in Ohio, and this was Ohio, damn it. This was not Indiana.
Who was playing in Indiana in 1897?
And they had what's fancifully called what's happily called festival seating, which actually means just riot, right?
Right.
Sit anywhere you wanted. There were four people, or was it more? Was it seven? Does anybody know? Hold up a number of fingers in there.
Anybody knows? No,
nobody knows.
Somebody will know.
There was I think it was single digits number of people. Might have been 14. That would be double digits. 2, 8, 3, 2, 5, 4, 2, 1, 1, 7. Oh, just a little more pie for you there. They were crushed going to a show. Now, I love people that go to rock concerts. I love rock concerts. I love Ohio. Okay, I'm lying a little bit there, but that's okay. I love Ohio. I love the
you
Who.
Like Ohio.
Sure, fine.
Maybe it's not love.
And yet, I made jokes about the Who festival seating right afterwards. I laughed about that. And I think that that is a stupid reason to die. It's stupid to die to go to see the Who. Stupid way to die, right? And it's also a stupid way to die to go to throw rocks at a wall that represents the devil. To be able to go to, is it actually Mecca? I don't even know. It doesn't even matter. If we want to go to some holy place and you're going to get crushed doing that, it's a stupid way to die. Well, so this guy
it happens a lot.
You know,
this is not the first time people were crushed in that same rock throwing incident. I would say avoid the rock throwing incident.
Yeah.
Stay home and curse the devil.
But they also said that the problem was, the New York Times had an article about this, that the problem was the architecture, that it was too narrow a funnel thing.
I heard it was the luggage.
The luggage. How about the problem was believing that you've got to schlep to someplace with another million people and get to a wall to throw a rock? It's not an architecture problem. It's not a Samsonite is not to blame for the luggage. It's the fact you shouldn't go to one place and crush other people. Whether that one place is a Muslim place or that one place is substitute, you know, whatever you want. I did a little Who thing.
That was the Who. Okay.
That was the first song that popped into my head was Substitute. Of all the songs, you could do Don't Get Fooled Again because of CSI being monsters. You could do Who Are You? The radio public would have gone, yeah, that's a Who song. I picked Substitute. And the reason was that this morning I was listening to the Sex Pistols Substitute, their cover of Substitute.
Okay.
On some weird,
still
obscure
bootleg. At least it was Who.
It was the Who.
I
was right on that.
You didn't make a mistake.
No, I didn't. Boy, do I not like the Guess Who. And also the name, just Guess Who and Who, tells you everything, doesn't it?
Well, which was first?
Everything? No, you mean...
I think that's an important detail.
I know, but you were very close to the joke there.
Was I?
Who was up first? Who was first? Yes.
Yes.
Who was first?
Yes. Okay.
Guess Who was first? No. Who was first? Guess. I won't guess. I'll tell you, if there's one thing we are, it's topical. We've just done a Sex Pistols reference, a Who reference, and then topped it off with Abbott and Costello. That's the kind
of
thing.
With the Hodge.
That's the kind of thing we do on this show. This is Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau in Las Vegas, Nevada, talking to y'all. 3.14159265338973233. Okay, enough of this silliness. Let's go right to some news here. Outgoing Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan is spending his last day presiding over an interest rate meeting. He's expected to approve the first decrease after 14 straight increases, lowering rates to 3.14159265358973.
11 is the number you're looking for.
11.
11 is the number,
people killed at the Who concert. And, you know, so the Who kills 11, Islam kills hundreds, right? So the guy in L.A., who's, I don't even know his name or what station he's on.
Do you want that information?
No, I don't care.
You don't, okay.
I don't care at all. This is a philosophical point. Facts have nothing to do with it. and he's fighting back and saying he'll give an apology for his joke if the Islam American Defamation League, whatever they are, if they, I probably shouldn't say that because it's just... confused.
Sure.
Whatever the organization is, if they apologize, if they say, you know, that Israel is a free state and can defend its borders, and if it says, if they say that
decree all acts of terror,
yeah, all acts of terrorism,
and that
not
they have no ties
ones,
of any sort,
no ties of any sort,
financially or otherwise, to any terrorist organization or individual,
and Iraq just voted terrorists in,
yeah,
which is, oh man.
Well, you know, their choice was corrupt officials or terrorists.
Talk about wake-up call to politicians of the
yeah.
USA.
Hello,
yeah.
Mr.
I mean,
Bush?
Next election, we might choose terrorists over corrupt officials. I don't know. It's just,
it could happen.
It's just amazing. Someone wrote about the two-party system, didn't they? They wrote
yeah.
that. Yeah. They wrote, do you think it's good that the two-party system is entrenched? And I say no. Were we done with that one?
Kenneth, that's from Kenneth, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean, it's obviously the idea. I would think, and this also plays into the big Nate Santucci should be assemblyman. If you live in Vegas, not even if you live in Vegas, I mean, this is a show that goes out to many big cities in the country. The smallest city we go out to, I believe, is Las Vegas.
Is our own, yes.
I believe. But one small part of Vegas, which is the area that Nathan Santucci is running for.
Right.
He's running for assemblyman. Mm-hmm. He is trying to get out an incumbent who has been in there for like three terms. I would think, wouldn't it be cool if it just became fashionable in the U.S. to vote against whoever the incumbent was?
Yeah, there was a big push for that. Re-elect
yeah.
nobody?
Yeah.
Which I think that's a fine, that's kind of funny.
It's a really good idea. It's a really good idea. And then, you know, the other possibilities would be, you know, you could choose, you know, independent or a Democrat or Republican, anybody you wanted. Within that thing, you just would not ever vote for the incumbent. The idea being that when someone gets into the government, they are automatically polluted. They automatically become bad. It's like there's certain jobs, you know. You could be the best guy in the world, and after you're president for 3 years, you're crazier than a loon, right?
A lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure, and also there's a lot of people tugging on your coat.
Yeah.
I had trouble with that last word, but I made it. You have a lot of people bugging you, and you just go insane. So vote against every incumbent. There are other jobs like that, too, you know.
There are.
Just
one-time jobs, really?
Well, jobs that you can... No, jobs that you get, and you could be a good guy when you started.
And then
you turn out to... Morning DJ.
Really?
Oh. Any sort of DJ, really. most of the DJs that I've met who talk on the radio start out as pretty good guys.
Right.
And by the end, raving lunatics who just do fart jokes. You know? You start out...
Old people are so slow. That's a good idea for a routine. I think I'll do that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do that tomorrow. Let's talk about
tomorrow.
How slow
I was just thinking about this in the shower.
4 hours.
Yeah. That's what happens. And that's what has happened to us in probably the land speed record.
You think we've already gone there?
I don't know. I think two, you know, fairly okay guys. I liked you before you did radio.
Yeah, well, thank
and
you.
Now I find you a little bit, you know, distasteful. And
every
silly.
Morning.
Sure.
Every
yeah.
morning.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Coming up Thursday. We're going to have Gilbert Gottfried on.
Gilbert.
Now, whatever you think about me doing the Aristocrats, for those of you who listen to this show, and I think I include everyone who's listening right now.
Okay.
For those of you who listen to this show, it's a big thing for you. It's a very good thing that I did the Aristocrats because I get to get guests on this show that are the best in the world.
Sure,
now,
right.
If you've heard Gilbert Gottfried on Hollywood Squares, or you've heard him on other radio shows, he's a real regular in a lot of radio shows, I think we're going to get something out of Gilbert you don't usually see. Now, if you've seen Gilbert Live, and Gilbert Live is a whole different thing, but if you've seen Gilbert Live, then we're going to try to get that out of him on Thursday. We're going to try to get him to do that real ranting, straightforward.
Try to be Gilbert.
Try to get Gilbert to be Gilbert.
Because,
you know,
great.
He does these stuff. He does the stuff on
Iago.
Leno. I know. The stuff on Leno, too,
right?
You know.
Okay.
He's always funny. Gilbert is always funny. He's always good. There are no exceptions to that. But he's not always brilliant. Because sometimes he's doing other people's material. We're going to push... That's true. You know, when he goes on talk shows, he's doing other people's material, right?
Okay.
I don't mean he's stealing it. I mean, they write stuff for him and say, here you go, Gilbert. You want a paycheck?
This.
Go out there and pretend you're Terry Schiavo. That'll be funny. Right?
Oh, okay, sure.
Someone says, it'll be Terry Schiavo. And he goes, I can't write. You're done.
Whatever.
That was my impersonation of Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert doing Terry Schiavo. Very odd.
It's one of the, it used to be in my nightclub act. I would do Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert's going to be here. And this is a lot of interviews coming up. We're lousy with interviews. We've been booking like crazy. Chris Angel.
Chris is finally going to be on.
He's going to be on Tuesday, week from today. 1 week from today, tell all your friends, mark it on your calendar, Chris Angel. It's going to be called Chris
right?
Angel Tuesday, and I am going to bust his ass so hard. Because, you know, we have this message board, this Penn & Teller message
yep.
board, and I don't read it, you know, but my wife occasionally does. As a matter of fact, there was one message board. We got a letter to our office that said, there's a woman named Emily who's a real nut who's claiming to be Penn's wife. And
she's a real nut.
She's a real nut. She's
and she makes the claim of being your wife.
So. She is, and she is my wife. And you know, the fact that they would think that my wife wouldn't be aggressive, wouldn't be opinionated. You know, I guess what is this? What is this that they think that?
Was she saying bad things about you on the website?
No, she's. I mean, I have. I think you know this.
If you've ever heard Penn's wife say anything bad about him, call in. You're going down, man.
Have you seen? I'm not going to say you haven't. You've seen as good.
Yes.
But have you seen a better relationship than I have with my wife?
I'm not allowed to answer that.
You're not allowed to answer that?
Yes, no, of course.
You have seen better?
Mine is great.
Not better. You could be tied.
Okay, tied.
Tied. Okay. No, I'm not saying, no, I'm not being manipulative thing. I'm just saying that no complaints whatsoever.
She's delightful.
Perfect.
She seems perfect for
but
you.
But if you're not me, and she's on a web chat with you, she can be very annoying to other people because she does not back down. And that's why would I be with anybody who did back down ever? Chris Angel.
Tuesday.
This is all coming
up. We have
down.
All the questions that people sent in.
Have here's all the questions. But more important, my wife, who looks at these message boards, Emily. Emily's been on saying, you know, there's these people that say Chris Angel has real powers. He's really done this. And look at Chris Angel doesn't seem to fess up to this. He seems to let them believe he has real powers.
Let's
so what I'm
him.
Planning on doing, Chris Angel doesn't listen to the show, right?
No, I don't
not
think
a
so.
Chance he does. He's
sleeping.
He's sleeping. He's sleeping like anybody else. So Chris isn't hearing this show. But Chris, you know, I'm going to come on. I'm going to be like really nice to him, like
right.
All like brotherly
sure.
Magicians. Hey, we're hanging out. Cool. Be really nice. Oh, you look good. Oh, you know, and I'm going to even try to let him get away with the crosses around his neck, you know. He wears so many crosses around his neck. He's like, and one of them is so big you could actually nail a real Jew. You know, if Christ comes again, there's room on his chest to nail him up.
He has
a working execution device that he wears around his neck. I'll make a little joke about that, and then we're gonna like lure him. We're gonna lull him.
We're gonna sucker punch him?
Yeah. Sucker punch.
As soon as he's really comfortable, we'll say, hey, man,
rope-a-dope.
Why are you saying this?
So much. We're going to do it. We're going to say, like, oh, so you do kind
well,
of magic.
Seems so
and then we're going to just go,
you know, it's
let's read,
magic.
Let's read a little letter. This is a little thing that was said about you, Chris. What do you think about this? Chris Angel has real powers. And then I'm just going to go, so do you, sucker? And I'm going to get in his face. I just spit on you, didn't I?
You spit all the way across the table when you yelled at Chris Angel.
This is one of the biggest tables.
That's how angry you are. Chris, if you're listening, run. Save yourself. It's a trap, man.
So that'll be the plan. A week from Tuesday, a week from today, the plan is to trap him, like in a gonculator, like on Hogan's Heroes, like in a rabbit trap. He will come here. We're going to be all nice to him. I'm not going to mention his dyed black Superman hair. I'm not going to mention the shag haircut, the, you know, who the hell do you think you are, Rod Stewart. I'm not going to come out of the, because I, first of all, I can't make fun of hair. I mean, look at me. But I'm going to.
Lance already called you on the hair making fun of.
He did. Mr. Floby.
Mr. Floby said, stop making fun of his hair. And he was right.
Right. I have long, stupid hair.
It would work really well if you had a Floby.
My hair would not work in a Floby.
Are you sure?
Positive. Gilbert Gottfried will be on Thursday. That's the day after tomorrow. And I mean really gather people around the radio because I've never known Gilbert to not be hysterical.
Can we confront him about his comedy?
There's nothing to confront Gilbert about. He is the most talented comedian of our lives. I think when you're talking, you know, geniuses, Gilbert has to be on that list. We're not happy about it, but he has to be on that list. And we'll just let him go. You know, most people try to keep him, you know, oh, let's just do sex jokes. Let's just do this. We'll let him do anything he wants. He doesn't have to do Iago. You know, he doesn't have to do Hollywood Squares stuff. Gilbert will do whatever he wants on the show. That'll be Thursday. And then Tuesday is going to be Chris. And I'm going to ambush him. I'm going to be lying in wait, stealthy.
Like, certainly some friend of Chris Angel's is listening.
Like
and will
a puma.
Tell him.
Like a puma.
You've just blown the
no,
trap.
Like a puma. I'll be like a
puma.
Is it puma?
No.
Puma. I'll be like a puma.
Only puma if you're commie smothers.
I'll be a puma up on top of the rocks. Proving that that the DGA awards are all 100% political.
Yeah.
Star Price,
yes.
Best director alive
Art director.
Today. Art, well, coincidentally, most important, he's the best director alive today. Secondarily, he happens to direct Penn & Teller Bull Stuff. Starting to roll off my tongue, that Bull Stuff. But as it gets into my head, I always don't know which one's the one I'm supposed to say, which one I'm not. But that's okay, because they can always, in New York, they just hit a button, it's okay. But he directed the circumcision show of Bull Stuff, and he was nominated at the DGA Awards, and he went to the DGA Awards, and he went with Spicoli,
right.
Our manager,
sure.
Also his manager. What a coincidence that the man, and soon to be your manager, I'm sure.
Sure.
Sure, of course.
He's calling.
Spicoli and Starr went to the DGA Awards and basked in the glory of all these great directors, like, you know, Spielberg,
right.
And Ang Lee. Don't make me Ang Lee. Ang Lee and Ron Howard,
sure.
And all these other guys saying tremendous things about Bull Stuff.
Really?
Very good things. This is the best show on TV. I really love it. And if you think you're going to win one damn award, think again, sucker. You know, as long as you're losing, we love you. They were saying very kind things about the Aristocrats. And Steven Spielberg said he saw the Aristocrats in the theater, which is a really funny image of him there. Anyways, this is Ben Gillette and Michael Goodell. We got so much more to talk about because, you know, pie never stops. It never stops. Not here on the Ben Gillette Show. Do we have any Gmails about pie? Anything else about pie?
No more pie questions.
We're done with pie?
We're done with pie,
that's
I
it
believe.
For pie. I was going to change the name to Penn Jillette's House of Pie, but now we don't. So, Star?
The Roundhouse of Pie.
Almost round. The squared roundhouse of pie. So Star Price did not win for directing the DGA Award. But he got to hobnob with his fellow wizards. He
sure.
was like one table over from Ron Howard and stuff. And there's Star there with the little show that could. You know, we're in our fourth season, as you know, on Bull Stuff. I'm interested in this because, you know, we're shooting the promos. And
right.
we have all these. We're going to shoot the actual shows. We've been writing them like
coming
crazy.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, we did the Boy Scouts show and the prostitution show. We got virginity coming up. It's going to be a good season.
Death penalty.
And we might very well, we got a letter about this, right? We might very well do Scientology.
We did.
Matt and Trey, Matt Stone and Trey Parker of South Park, they quoted me in a article. They were interviewed about South Park, about why they did the Scientology show. And they said that I told them that Showtime would not let us do Scientology.
Right.
That's what I told them.
That's what you told them?
I believe I was lying. Because you know, I was sitting out with
you were
Matt.
Just trying to cover our butts, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I was sitting out with Matt and Trey, and they said, you know, why have you, I said, you know, why have you guys done Scientology? I asked them, because the best defense is a good offense. I learned that from sports. I said, why don't you do Scientology? And they said, well, you know, Isaac Hayes is a Scientologist, and he
sure.
does the voice
chef.
Of Chef, and out of respect for him, we won't do Scientology. Why won't you do Scientology, they say. I said, well, you know, Showtime won't let us.
Guido is...
I should have sold you out, because
yeah.
they might not have quoted, you know, Guido
sure.
wouldn't do it. But they did quote the Showtime won't do it. I don't think Showtime ever actually weighed in on it at all. I think it was me.
You've ratted yourself out.
Ratted myself out. Because Matt and Trey said that, now Showtime has come to us. And this is the thing about lying. You know, they will say, oh, what a tangled web we weave. But also things get really interesting because now Showtime is apologizing to us. We didn't mean you couldn't.
They don't remember either.
They don't remember either. So I think I don't know if any young people listen to this show, but if you do, lying will make your life much more interesting.
Interesting,
I think it's a really
is
good
an
thing.
Odd way to put that.
But isn't it pretty great that I lie about what someone said to me,
then
they apologize for it?
Okay.
And they said we might in season 5 do an hour-long Scientology show.
Wow.
I don't really remember. I mean, I'm being flippant about saying I was lying about that. Maybe I was telling the truth. I don't remember what Showtime said. All I remember is that I don't think Scientology is a big deal. I don't ever, I know like two people that are Scientologists, you know?
Right.
Not close friends. And I'm just going to say her name, but I'm not going to because that
sure.
seems unkind. But she had a stapler in the eye.
Man, so, I hope nobody gets a podcast from yesterday.
I just think believing all this nut stuff, and also they take so much money from you, I just don't think it's a kind of threat. I don't really think that people who are apt to watch bull stuff on Showtime are apt to be sucked in. Like the bottled water show, to me, is one of our best shows, because I drank bottled water. We did this research and found out it's all jive. That's cool, you know? And also the big philosophical shows, or the really fun shows, like when we did Profanity, or when we're going to do Prostitution, you know?
Yeah, sure.
When you make a lot of jokes and, you know, or ones that there really is controversy over, like Circumcision, which was, I think, a great show. But Scientology is just like, oh, let's make fun of Tom Cruise again, right? And Tom Cruise is an actor. Tom Cruise is stupid. Whatever Tom Cruise believes is going to be foolish. You know, Tom Cruise happens to be a Scientologist. If he were a Buddhist, he'd be a stupid Buddhist. If he were a Christian, he'd be a stupid Christian. Tom Cruise is very good looking, probably a fine actor, perfect at his job, but he's not a world leader. No one listens. Well, of course, I should bite my tongue, because now people are listening to Bono. All of a sudden, Bono is like, ooh.
And, you know, there was a thing yesterday with Penn and Teller for president.
But we're not running, are we?
No. I guess not.
No, that's
not yet.
And nobody takes us seriously, you know? I think that's one of the reasons I can be so outspoken as an atheist, you know? If Bush said he was an atheist, I mean, somebody would care. not that I'm necessarily stupider than Bush. I'm just saying, you know? If he said he was an atheist, it'd be a big thing. But, you know, we're in entertainment. It's anything we believe. And most people who believe in Scientology are in entertainment.
Right.
So it's kind of like you're policing what's happening in the special class, you know? There are very few smart actors.
Among the terriers. You've chosen the terriers to be the world leaders. I'm going to base it on that.
Yeah. So I don't think it's that big a deal, Scientology, because I don't think anybody real believes it. I mean, I don't think there's one scientist. Has there been one scientist anywhere? I mean, with a Judeo-Christian.
They stole our name.
with the Judeo-Christian stuff, there are some very high-ranking scientists, very smart people, brilliant people who believe in the Christianity and Judaism. They're very, very smart Muslims. They're very smart Buddhists. I don't think there are any smart Scientologists. So I kind of feel like we go in there swinging and say, you know who founded this religion? It was a science fiction writer. Yeah, we all know that. I mean, I don't think there's much to say. When the most famous people in your religion, you know, when you're going up against, you know, Martin Luther, you know, when you're going up against Mohammed, when you're going against that kind of stuff, that's the only Muslim I could name. When you're going up against those people, it feels like you're the underdog. But when you're attacking John Travolta in an intellectual, philosophical, theological argument, I mean, what is that like? It's like Mike Tyson goes, I'm going to beat up Penn Jillette. I mean, it's not where the fight lies. So
we already did Shooting Fish in a Barrel as one of our stand-ups.
Exactly, we did Shooting Fish in a Barrel. And some of them are like that, you know. And I think that more people by a lot believe in astrology than believe in Scientology. And yet, when sitting across the dinner table from Trey and Matt, and they said, why haven't you done Scientology?
You felt compelled. Like, we haven't done astrology either, though.
No, we haven't. But isn't it on for season 5?
Oh, I hope so.
I think we're going to do it in season 5.
That's going to be fun.
Actually, I have a say on this.
It's quick and done.
But, of course, once you've said, I lie, then you can say anything afterwards. Oh, yeah, we'll do astrology next year. Swear to God. Swear to God Almighty. As God is my witness, swear to God. Oh, Jesus, we're going to do numerology in season. I don't care what I say. But I was lying to Matt and Trey, and that's a tradition. You know, it's a tradition for writers of comedy shows to lie to one another.
I mean, well, I'm glad you finally told me about this.
Of course, you've been out with comedy writers,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Have they ever told you the truth?
Not that
ever.
I know of.
They tell you where they're booked. They tell you how great they're doing. You never know anything. Everybody's lying all the time. So I lied to about Scientology to Trey and Matt, and they quoted me on it, and then Showtime apologized to me. So I believe it was me who was mostly against that. We got time for a Gmail, don't we? It's penradio@gmail.com. We'll be taking more Gmails tomorrow. I think I'm done. If you were thinking, if he mentions pie again, I'm not going to ever listen to the show again. I think you're pretty safe. I think I may be done with that.
I think
3.14 and I'm done. So read the have we got time? Yeah, sure, we have plenty of time. Read the bullet letter.
You like the bullet letter?
This, We got this letter during our show, during the Penn and Teller show, in the Penn and Teller Theater in Penn and Teller Town, which is also called Las Vegas, at the Penn and Teller Hotel, which is also called the Rio. We do a thing called the Bullet Catch, where we bring people up from the audience, and they sign bullets, and they shoot them into our faces, and we ostensibly catch the bullets in our teeth. I say ostensibly because it is a magic trick. We can't do it. So if you're walking down the street with a gun, and you see me or Teller, well, if you see me, and, and you think, well, he can catch bullets in his teeth.
Let's check it.
No, it's not. It's like saying, oh, he can probably pull a bunny out of my hat. Can't do that. Can't catch bullets. It's a trick, but a good trick. And we get people up from the audience that are experts in firearms, and they sign the bullets, they load the bullets, they shoot the bullets, and they examine the bullets afterwards. And then after the show, I mean, after the trick,
right,
we give them the casing and the slug as a souvenir that's signed by them. Right. And this is a letter we got. Go ahead.
This is from Michael. He says, I attended your show on the above referenced date and participated in your last act. As a souvenir, I kept the shell casing and the bullet, which I had signed. I caused inconvenience and embarrassment as I proceeded through airport security. In the end, the shell casing and deployed bullet was considered inert. I was allowed to continue, however, only after hours after my plane had gone.
Hours?
11 hours later.
11?
You might be well advised to briefly explain this circumstance to your next duo of volunteers so they may choose to mail themselves the souvenirs or perhaps put it in their checked luggage. So you thought you were doing this guy a favor. He spent 11 hours at the airport.
Man. And I do a joke in the show. You know, I give them the, I say, you can keep the casing, you can keep the bullet, and good luck getting him on the airplane.
Right.
And the whole audience laughs because, ha, ha, ha.
Oh, what a funny joke.
He's being paranoid about how crazy TSA is. So this is a casing that you can see is empty. Is that right?
Yes.
See is empty. It's a slug that you can see has been fired. Clearly just a souvenir. It's signed. And 11 hours at the airport. I'm very sorry, Michael. That came through the Rio, right?
Yes, it did.
Came through the Rio.
This came through the Rio. Official stationery and everything.
Let me see the stationery.
Okay, here you go.
I want to see what he does for a living. It's Ayn Rand. He's got quoting Ayn Rand from Atlas Shrugged, and on his letterhead, although that could be just computer letterhead. Oh, but it is Xerox by us. It has a picture of Atlas holding up the world,
sure,
and Ayn Rand. So this guy is a free market guy, and I don't know what he does for a living. It doesn't say that, but I'm sure he was wonderful on stage, and I left him at the airport for 11 hours. In terms of assessing blame, my fault for giving him a gift or TSA's fault for being paranoid freedom stealers?
You're asking me?
I'm asking you.
TSA?
TSA.
Did I get it right?
Yeah, I got it right. After right. On your way out. Pick one up at the office on your way out. We got another Gmail.
We do. We have a guy. This is from, let's see, Mario. He's 18-year-old. March 27th, I am shipping out to boot camp with the U.S. Navy.
Okay.
It would be the best thing ever that has happened in my life if somehow I could visit you guys in Las Vegas before I ship out. I would carry through basic. It would carry me through basic because if things got rough then, he wrote that. I can't believe he said that.
He's 18.
I would always look back on this and smile. If you guys want to call me, I will gladly come to visit you. Thanks so much.
Okay, does he have his phone number there?
Mario, no, he has his phone number. Well, you know.
But he has a Gmail address or something?
His Gmail address.
Write to him and tell him we'll get him tickets. I mean, he's going into the service, man. You know?
He is.
And get him tickets to our show. Give him tickets to Lance's show. Lance will do that, won't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, give him tickets to our show, Lance's show. And if he wants, he can come over to my house and listen to us do a radio show live. Is that enough?
Man, you've gone crazy.
No, it's true. I just feel like if someone, I mean, writing
you know
that
how
letter,
many of these we're going to get tomorrow?
Okay, the rest of them might be lies. They might be thinking they're talking to Trey and Matt. And
just I'm going to write one in, see if I get a trip to L.A.
we're not giving him a trip. Is he from L.A.?
No.
Okay, but wherever we're not paying his airfare.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know where he is. I'm not flying him in from Iraq.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't even say what service he's joining.
You're just
going
to give him tickets to the show and he can come hang.
Yeah, I'll buy him tickets to our show. Lance, buy him tickets to your show. And then we can invite him over to the Slammer.
Because we're patriots.
Once in a while, sure. I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know if I'm in favor of the war in Iraq, but certainly an 18-year-old kid who believes he's doing the right thing by serving the country, I'm not going to turn on him, you know? So I'm all in favor of him. I'm all in favor of the servicemen. I don't know about the war itself. And sometimes we cook corn muffins. You brought cookies over today, so maybe you could have a cookie, have a cup of tea, and then we ship them off to boot camp where it might get tough. If it gets difficult, if it gets uncomfortable, if it gets annoying, he can remember this and smile. This is Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau in Las Vegas. 3.1415926358979323836.